This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez,
CHI. On 720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my heart and freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution, I can learn to stand alone.
We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and by the way, the news was sponsored by Tortoise Supper Club. I want to go to a supper club. Scott Santos, have you ever been to a supper club?
I have not. Is this a Wisconsin supper club?
I believe it is a Wisconsin.
Can you explain what a Wisconsin supper club is?
I would have to do more research by going to one. I understand that they have wonderful food and great service, and it's a lovely experience.
Sold.
Excellent. Scott, you don't have much time with us because you have a lot of work. You're very busy. You're doing a project for Hamilton.
I am. The Lin-Manuel, as we like to call him.
Oh, excuse us.
Is putting together an exhibit, a Hamilton exhibit, a touring exhibit about Alexander Hamilton, and I'm doing a segment of it, the debate on the U.S. Constitution.
And how did this come about?
I don't know.
Well, congratulations on this mysterious honor.
The guy who's in charge of it lived in Chicago, knew my work, liked my work, and gave me a call.
For those finding Scott for the first time on the Patty Vasquez Show, he is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, and he's a member of the editorial board. And we love having him on Thursday night to talk about his cartoons of the week.
I love being on.
Yeah, we love having you. And now you, obviously, the news never stops for you. Every day, something new.
No.
You have to choose. I've watched you try to choose between news stories.
You helped me. We had lunch, and that was actually one of the best times I've had recently. We were having lunch, and I was on deadline. I had my little iPad, and you helped me. We walked through the gag, and
yes, we did. It was weird to walk through because I'm a comic, and we do this. Like sometimes comics will sit around a table and like you know bad ideas around, but I've never sat down with a cartoonist, and that was lovely.
It was fun.
It was great. And it was so crazy because I could tell my husband, I'm like, no, I saw it before I had color. It was just a sketch.
So it was pretty much stick figures.
No, it was great.
No, we're close to, but that's what a rough is, and so.
And what has been for you in the last, let's say that just this week alone, what, I mean, because obviously we have all the scandal in Chicago, you had the State of the Union, you have, I don't even know. I mean, the president's being harassed by the investigation.
Yeah, presidential harassment. What in the name of everything that's holy is that?
It's a new one.
I know.
Well, and you don't necessarily fall. I mean, you consider yourself to be conservative.
I consider myself,
to be a Republican.
Yeah.
So, but the beauty
I think
is,
I've had that card revoked recently.
Well, I was going to say, you tend to tick off people on both sides of the aisle pretty regularly.
I don't like bullies, and I don't like unrestrained, unrestricted power. Okay. So I just tend to go after whoever's in charge. So I was, interestingly, recently went through a bunch of old stuff, and like when I first started in the business in the 80s, I was doing anti-Reagan cartoons when he was president.
Were you really?
I did not like his interventionist policies in Central America. And
then how did that turn out?
Oh, so far so good.
Okey-dokey.
Yeah,
caravan,
and with Bush, the same is true. And also, obviously, Clinton and Obama I wasn't a fan of. So apparently I don't like anybody.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, you liked, I thought you campaigned for Reagan.
I did.
Oh, okay. Just to turn to, and that's the thing, is that that's what's important, is that people who can separate if they fall in love or are drawn to a candidate or a politician, then you start to see what they fundamentally do in real time and are able to separate your feelings.
And it's,
but we're less and less able to do that these days.
Oh my gosh, you know, especially with this president, and I do a comic strip called Prickly City as well, and I make fun of him, but I had the temerity to make fun of Bernie Sanders in yesterday's Prickly City.
Yeah, I got people messaging me about that. Did you see what Scott drew about Bernie Sanders and free college and free stuff? And I was like, okay. Yeah. You're talking about it though, aren't you?
Yeah, well, but it's also like, it's free stuff. Socialism is free stuff. That's the
right. I mean,
part
of it. Right. Like the police department is free and the fire department's free and our
it
roads
is,
are
that's
free.
That's part of the argument. But the other argument is socialism tends to go past that and offer a lot of stuff that is not free today.
What do you mean? Oh, you mean that they're offering? I never hear them say, I guess they have campaigned on free. I don't pay attention to
it. It's not free.
No one believes it's free. They don't believe, people know that inherently it's going to cost somebody.
It's going to cost a fortune.
Right.
And that's what you have. And there's a balance. If you're willing to lose 45, 50% of your pay,
look,
which which is what happens in Europe, and they do that, and there's not revolution, they're not uprising, and they have a lot of, they have socialized medicine, child care, college, all, the whole smash, and okay, so that can work for them. Maybe it can work here.
And people, like, again, people are getting hung up on the fact that you use the word free and you have your reasons behind it, and that makes complete sense in Scott world.
And it's a comic strip.
It's a comic strip.
Can I throw it out? First of all, coyotes can't talk.
No.
And little girls almost never run for president until they're grown.
Oh, sure.
But Carmen is a little girl, and she's run for office.
Well, why
they
not?
Can't do that.
Well, but still, it's, she's in your comic strip.
Yes,
so she can.
It's a comic strip, does. People.
What do you have in store for us tomorrow?
Oh, what the heck did I draw about?
Oh, boy. I should check.
I send it out.
But you're so busy doing so many different projects.
This sounds crazy. I mean, it sounds like I have such a huge ego or something. Like, oh, I'm just, once it's done, it's behind me. But it really is, because now it's on tomorrow. What I knew I drew about something that.
I'm looking for it right now.
It was the hypocrisy of the two parties. You know, remember years ago when they were having these endless investigations of Hillary.
Right.
And the Republicans were screaming, lock her up, which to me was wrong. And I cartooned about it at the time. And now we're having these, what seems to be endless investigations of Trump, with the Democrats going, lock him up. It's just like, oh my God, can we just govern just for a few
good
minutes?
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Let me know how that turns out.
I know the answer. I'm just saying I can still ask the question.
Well, I love your work and I love having these conversations with you. And I'm sad that you have to take leave of us, because coming up in a little bit, we're going to talk to our friends from the Woman in Black production at the Royal George Theater.
It sounds awesome.
It's amazing. Adam Wesley Brown and Bradley Armacost are hanging out in the PPG green room right now, and we're going to talk to them in just a minute. But before we talk to them, we are going to talk to Gina Chavez, who's performing at the Woodstock Opera House.
And you played some of her music for me. Oh,
she's magical.
Yeah.
So you have to go.
I do.
All right then.
All right.
All right. It was good seeing you briefly. I'll see you next. I'll see you next Thursday.
Maybe before we'll talk.
Oh, okay.
We're friends.
Oh, excellent. Do we take me to lunch in that really cool place?
Do I do that again?
I found a place for oysters.
Can you smoke?
One, I don't smoke, and two, no.
Well, when you come to my club, I'll get you a cigar.
Oh, it's been a while.
Okay.
It's been a long time. Follow Scott on Twitter at Scott Stantis. You can find his work at Chicago Tribune/Stantis, right? Stantis?
Mm-hmm.
And find his comic strip, Prickly City, and also, obviously, daily in the Chicago Tribune. And you can hear him on the latest podcast of the Mincing Rascals.
Also listen to the Prickly City podcast right here on WGN Plus as well.
I was almost going to miss that one.
I'm everywhere.
Shame on me. Bye, Scott.
Bye, Patty.
We're going to check in with Gina Chavez in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Heaven knows you're just my type. From your freckles to your baby toe.
Oh, man. What incredible music. This is Gina Chavez. She's a 10-time Awesome Music Award winner. She's been an official artist with the South by Southwest, of course, the biggest festival for music and everything that's important. We have on the line with us Gina Chavez, who is performing this Sunday, February 10th, at the Woodstock Opera House. Gina, I hear this is your first time coming to Chicago, or at least doing the Woodstock Opera House.
Yeah. We played Millennium Park a couple of years ago. So we have been to the Chicago area, but it's our first time at Woodstock and very excited to be there. Although y'all ordered in some pretty cold weather for us.
I was going to say, I meant to say the first time that, and to be fair, Gina, most of us have not experienced this kind of weather as well. So we'll be handling this together, as it were.
Okay. All right. Well, as long as we can band together, we can all just we should bring Snuggies to the Opera House.
Oh, you know, I have a Wonder Woman Snuggie, by the way. You have to invest in a Wonder Woman Snuggie. It is the coolest. My husband bought it for me for Christmas. So I have the body of Wonder Woman, and then and then I have the arms. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's the best.
I love it. I actually really think this is a good idea. I think we should have lots of popcorn and Snuggies for people to cuddle in, and then we can just party it up. I love it.
I think that sounds amazing. And your music is the kind that people should party to. What we just heard is Heaven Knows, right? Is a song we just came in on?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Tell us a little bit about this, because this sounds like something that has been not just a part of where your life has led you, but something that I think transcends so many love stories.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, this record, Lightbeam, I really just took some time to write. And what was interesting is that, you know, the stuff that kind of bubbled to the surface was me really looking back on this beautiful life with my wife, actually. And so we've been together for about 12 years, but we just got married in 2017. And we're also practicing Catholics. And so this record kind of deals with all of that. But Heaven Knows is essentially, it's really that song that kind of wrestles with, like, hey, you know, how do we live these two lives and make them work together? And, you know, I've definitely in my experience come to realize that, you know, heaven knows that this is a beautiful relationship. And it's, you know, it's like finding someone that calls you to your best self and finding somebody that brings out the best in you that you can really form, you know, an incredible relationship with and be supported by your community. And it's something that I never thought would be possible as a Catholic, you know, so
that's lovely.
Lots of stories there for sure.
Oh, no doubt. And that's the thing about artists is that we're always trying to find a way to tell that story. It always, you know, maybe it shifts, or maybe, you know, we have a different, you know, mood that we're in. And this music just sounds incredible. Again, we are talking to Gina Chavez. She's performing at the Woodstock Opera House this Sunday, February 10th. You can go to realwoodstock.com for information, and you can purchase tickets at woodstockoperahouse.com. Now, I don't know if you've had a chance to do a little research on Woodstock, but it is one of my favorite places on the planet. It's not far from Chicago, but have you had a chance to learn about their lovely, you know, sort of artistic and independent streak that they've got running through this town?
You know, I've heard a little bit about it, and I'm super stoked. And I love that you just said it was your favorite place on the planet, because that means a lot. So I'm very excited to spend some time there, and I hope people do bring their Snuggies and just come party with us.
Well, bring your Snuggies. Well, many people were out there last week. They, you know, Groundhog Day was filmed in Woodstock, and so they have their annual Groundhog Day festival that lasts the whole week. And,
oh my gosh, like the movie?
Yes.
Filmed it?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's hysterical.
Oh,
you do like a tour.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. The bar is this the public house, right? So it's like this old jail house was where you see Bill Murray having a drink, and a lot of the scenes are there. There are scenes from the opera house that you're performing at. You'll recognize so much of the town. The bed and breakfast that he stays in is a Cherry Blossom.
Oh my gosh, this is so cool. I need to go download the movie and watch it on the plane or something.
And here, how about,
I mean, I've seen it a lot, but right. It's been a number of years.
Well, and here's the thing too, is not only that, so I do stand-up comedy, and I was on that same stage you'll be on. I was there last summer for Laughstock. Here's something that if you think about it for a moment, it sort of it gives you a chill. Orson Welles also used to perform in that opera house.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Oh my gosh. That's so wild. Yeah, it's so cool. We get to play a lot of times in these like really historic theaters, and it's really like a sacred space, you
yes.
know? I feel so blessed to be able to, you know, to like bring my own music, and I don't know, it's just wild. It's wild to me that we get to do this. So, very excited.
I'm excited for you. It's whenever people get to discover Woodstock for the first time. Now, when you're in a venue like this, do you have a preference for, you mentioned that you performed at Millennium Park. I'm sure that you've performed at festivals and fairs, you know, and this is a theater where there's not a bad sight line. Do you have a preference for where you perform, or is it really just being in the moment and connecting with the audience?
You know, I actually really enjoy performing in a variety of places. You know, I love getting to perform in these theaters. I love playing in a bar. I love playing at a festival, you know, even playing for kids or like going and performing for a couple people, you know, for their birthday party or something. Like I really enjoy connecting with people. And to me, the stage doesn't really matter. Some weather affected our trip, our tour a couple weeks ago when we were up on the East Coast, and we ended up having some extra days in Connecticut. And so we actually played for, we were like, man, we're just a band like hanging out here. We might as well find someone to perform for. And so we went to a nursing home, and some of the like coolest people were there. There was this woman that was a tap dancer until she was 93, was one of the residents there. And she'd been on Ellen twice.
Wow.
And like, you know, just meeting some like, God, just like, sharing stories and being able to share music with them for a little bit was really cool. So I love any stage, honestly.
Well, and I'm so thrilled. Again, this is part of Woodstock's. The Opera House is going to have a three concert series. Now, Gina Chavez is going to be there this Sunday. You can go to her website, too, to learn more about her, ginachavez.com. She was named Austin Musician of the Year. And you have a great, I'm guessing you got a great following after your NPR Tiny Desk concert that went viral.
Yeah, I still can't believe how many views we have on that thing. But yeah, it was incredible, honestly. Like, I, again, just feel so blessed. I've been very blessed in my whole career. So, but yeah, from the Tiny Desk stage to Woodstock, we're excited.
Yeah, no, it's a blast, and I hope that folks come out to see you. I'm gonna try to get out there. It is one of those things where there's always so many things to do in February, but this is a great way to kick off the Valentine's Day week too, because you've got such wonderful music that I think brings everybody in and just makes them feel good.
Well, thanks. Yeah, yeah. And actually, I was just gonna say, I was like, maybe you should open the show. You know, a little stand up comedy, a little.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me think about that.
Maybe we should do a little collab.
I think that sounds like, well, I don't know. I don't know who I talked to about that. The show is at 7 p.m. at the Woodstock Opera House. I don't want to put anybody on the spot out there. And again, you can go to realwoodstock.com and buy tickets at woodstockoperahouse.com. And there's a lot of great food out there, too. I don't know what you like to eat, but they've got barbecue. They've got, do you like chocolate?
I mean, it better be good, though, because I'm from Texas. You know,
yeah. Okay, the gauntlet's been thrown down. That seems like a lot of pressure for Woodstock. I think, like,
although I will say, I actually don't really eat red meat. So
okay, do you like chocolate?
I love chocolate.
Okay, there's a place called Ethereal Confections that I highly, highly recommend.
Okay. All right. Ethereal Confections. All right. I need to get like a whole list from you on the things we need to do.
Oh, definitely. We can. Well, I feel as though I have to be there on Sunday now in order to follow through on all these things.
You do. I need to see this Wonder Woman snuggie. We need to make it happen.
I think we need to start a movement. All right. We're going to get everybody on board at the Real Woodstock.
Snuggie movement.
Hey, John, we're going to start a snuggie movement. That's Gina Chavez. Go to GinaChavez.com and go to WoodstockOperaHouse.com for tickets for her show this Sunday, February 10th. Tickets are $25, $20 for students with an ID. And again, that's at 7 p.m. Gina, safe travels. And I hope to see you on Sunday. And I know it's on me.
All right. Yeah, it's on you, girl. It's on you. Well, and partially on the weather. So let's just hope that we all can be traveling safely.
Yeah. And people would say, and by the way, everybody in Chicago, you can hop on Metro. You'll be right there and you can all cuddle on the train in your snuggies. It's all good.
That's true. And actually, before we go, I should say that I got engaged in Chicago after watching Hamilton.
You did?
I planned it. I proposed to my wife. Aww. And it was like polar vortex. So I am bound to be returning to the area in polar vortex time from here on out.
You are now full circle. I love it.
Yeah, it's destined.
Destin. And then again, her new CD is Light Beam. So check that out as well. So, thank you so much, Gina. Wonderful to meet you. And I hope to meet you in person on Sunday.
My pleasure. Let's do it.
All right. Then snug you away. More after this on 720 WGN. Chicago, of course, is home to some of the greatest theater in the world, but then the Brits got to send their productions over here, and we're like, all right, fine, you do it very well as well. Woman in Black is running at the Royal George Theater. They're running just through February 17th, so you have less than, you have this weekend and you have next weekend, and they also have a wonderful deal for Valentine's Day
week.
So Bradley, and I'm going to say, I say Bradley because I look at you and I'm like, I should say your proper name, but hi, Brad.
Hello, thank you for having us back.
Oh, wonderful to have you back. It's Brad Armacost, and we have Adam Wesley Brown as well in studio with
us.
Hello. And okay, so I saw this on Sunday. You had another event, which was the NFL Scream Off, and I was the only person wearing. Griffin and I were the only ones wearing our NFL paraphernalia. But
we certainly appreciate.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. You took it very seriously.
I did. I felt like if there's anybody else that did wear theirs, I wanted them to also feel like they were in the right place. I think that some people took theirs off.
Our stage manager made us take ours off before we went on stage, which I just didn't agree with.
I didn't agree with that either.
Mm, yeah. It was something to behold. I love ghost stories to begin with, the thing is, this is more than just a ghost story. This is such an expression of storytelling that I didn't expect, because you really do learn something about what it means in the beginning first to tell a story and how that has lasting effects on people's lives and beyond. And that's kind of what I took away from it. I'm sure that's just my just really quick 1 minute so I can let you guys talk a little bit. But this is really incredible. So it's just the two of you in this, on stage, unpacking the story, I guess, where your character has to tell the story. Tell me why your character has to tell the story.
The catharsis of, years earlier, something really dreadful happened to this individual, and he's been living with it or trying to live with it for 30 years. And he finally, to get on with his life, to get that catharsis and move on with his life, he finally writes his story down, and then he enlists the help of Adam's character, who, as a theatrical producer / actor director, says, "This is a great story." And even though, what do we have, a couple of chairs and a skip up there, he says, we can tell this story.
Well, again, for those who aren't familiar with the story, this is a gothic ghost story by Susan Hill. And we watch both of you, and Adam, your character gets so frustrated and then gets so drawn into this, and your character, Brad, doesn't want, is just telling the story. And he's trying to pull you out of that.
Right.
But that moment where you realize, if I just reenact this, I'm remembering now, right? And it's such a wonderful experience to watch all that transformation.
It's, I think it I don't think this was the original intent of Stephen Malotrat, who adapted Susan Hill's book, but it does touch on art as therapy.
Right. Right.
Here's a person who's gone through something so traumatic and so life-altering that he carries it with him for decades. And then the only thing that can help him, as he says, purge it from his soul is to reenact it, to relive it in the telling. And, being in the theater for a couple of decades myself, it's such a love letter to the art of theater and the art of storytelling. The play's the thing. At the end of the day, it's just tell the story. That's what we're here for. And watching Brad's character find that of, I don't want to be in front of people. That's not what I want. This is actually an interesting journey. I see what you're playing at, and I get it, and I can buy into it, and it feels good to tell this story. It's such a fun. That's kind of how I got into theater originally. Was I like telling stories myself? I can do it in this great organized way with sets and lights and costumes.
And lest this sound like an evening of therapy in the theater. It's also incredibly frightening. That is being told brings out a general feeling almost of catharsis with the audience as well, because we had a great house tonight. We had a great house when you were there the other night, other afternoon. But they scare one another. That shared experience of, you too? I thought I was the only one.
And it's that good thing of, if you can play it right on stage when a scare happens and you give it just, and you play it just right, then you get the laughter afterwards of everybody being scared. And then laughing at themselves.
The release.
We had a couple of those tonight, which was always such I mean, it's hard for us to hide our hard giggles on stage when those kind of things happen.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's electric. I mean, you can feel, if you feel it in the room.
We've had, when doors will open, or especially Adam's character is putting himself in danger, you'll have people from the audience just go, "Don't go in there.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
No, don't.
Why would he do that? That's crazy. Why would he do this? Oh, no. Don't go through that door."
Well, and here's the thing. You start to believe that there's mud. That there's a dog trying to, all these different elements to it that are created by you and by the people who created all the special effects. And the audience becomes, you're immersed into it, and that's and then the layers that begin to unfold before you, right? First it's the two of you, and then we're somewhere in an office, then we're in a, but the stage also gets expansive. And to where you feel like you believe all of that's happening in front of you.
Well, it's our director, Robin Hereford, we've been very, very fortunate to work with the person who conceived of this in the first place 30 years ago and directed every of the official tours of it. Huh. He said the set kind of draws you in as well. You think it's just a very superficial set, and
then
something comes up, and something comes up, and the next thing you're drawn into the set. You're drawn into that story as well.
And I think it's reflected in the actual writing of the script. Is that it's not given to you immediately. I think I always, and maybe this is my own uneducated view of it, but you know, American horror to me, in my experience, has always been much more leaning on. Mm-hmm. The jump scare and the immediacy of the scare, whereas this very English style, it's a slow burn. It takes a while. Mm-hmm. You're drawn in. It's not. You're not given that reward so immediately. You have to work for it. You have to wait for it.
And you can think of some modern horror films, the John Krasinski.
A Quiet Place.
Out, where it's not just immediate. We're telling the story first, and then we'll provide the jump scare.
And my mom does not like scary movies at all. My mom was with us, and
I hate scary movies.
I love scary movies. I love scary movies. She thoroughly enjoyed this. My son has seen you in the Shakespeare plays at
Chicago Shakespeare.
Yeah, I saw him. Yeah, and I believe I might have been there. I don't know if you were in Romeo and Juliet, but there was the thing about now live theater when you have teenagers. Have you had many teenagers or kids?
Yes, sure.
I know there was a young man there in addition to my son on Sunday. How do the kids react?
Oh, I got to tell this story. The other night, a wonderful family. I was going out to see some friends who'd come see the show, and there was a family who stuck around way after everybody had left. And there was a mother and a father and a daughter, probably about 12 or 13, and then her younger sister who had to be 9 or 10. And it was very clear she had not had a great experience.
Oh no!
And the father had seen us on a TV station advertising, you know, hey, come down, but. It was amazing because, of course, I immediately went over and said, you know, hi, how you doing? Did you like the show? Were you scared? And everybody was like, yes. And then the youngest one said, oh, I was too scared. But she wanted to be an actor.
Oh.
And so I sat there for probably about 10 minutes with her talking about, you know, bridging that line of, you know, it's just a story. It's not quote unquote real. They're, you know, no one's going to come get you in your bed at night. But at the same time, what a great lesson. If you want to be involved in this business or in this art form, that's the power of it. Don't ever lose that wonder. I remember when I was about 9, I saw a production of Dracula at Actors Theater of Louisville that thoroughly scarred me. Absolutely. Have no doubt about it. I have seen many therapists about it, but it was that power of of storytelling, of being in a room where it goes, into our scary play, but also a play like Romeo and Juliet, where you feel for the people on stage.
Right,
and that was something I was able to talk to this young woman about and say, this is what the art is about. This is what it's about. Yes, it's scary right now, but go home and think about it. Don't let that magic disappear. And if you get involved in it, don't ever let that magic loose, because that's the beauty of this art form.
We are talking about the beauty of the art form with Adam Wesley Brown and Brad Armacost. They are the stars of Woman in Black, running through February 17th at the Royal George Theater. They are having a special next week for Valentine's Week, so you get a cocktail. If you don't have to get a cocktail, if you want to have a soda, that works too.
No, absolutely.
Mocktails.
No, mocktails.
Our front of house staff at the Royal George are amazing.
Hey,
amazing.
I stopped at the bar on the way, and more after this on 720. You know I did. More in a moment. It's the Patty Vasquez Show. When you go to the website, thewomaninblack.com, you click on the USA Tour, and you can find out more information about the production of The Woman in Black here in Chicago, running through February 17th at the Royal George Theater. Joining me in studio are the stars. I mean, you're the cast. You're the whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah. We go to Seattle next, so we've got another month of this.
What a perfect place to do that. I mean, in the foggy, rainy west, you know, upper Pacific, that'll be fun.
We're looking forward to that fog and rain. rain.
Compared to this, I think it'll be fun.
It will be fun.
It's Adam Wesley Brown and Bradley Armacost in studio with me. And Adam was telling us about an experience he had with a young audience member. And I'm guessing you've had many of these moments, whether with this production, Brad. And
we have. We've been very fortunate to have some student matinees.
Ooh.
And they have been just delightful. They've been both in Cleveland. We opened in Cleveland for a month and then Pasadena Playhouse for a month. And we've had student groups, and it's just a delight to play for it.
Do they have a Q&A? Do you do a Q&A afterwards, like on stage?
We haven't for this show.
We haven't, but they were very, very well prepped in Cleveland, of all places, mm-hmm. at Cleveland Playhouse. They were very, you know, they had teachers who were running kind of a workshop afterwards there. We were not involved in that.
Mm-hmm. In Pasadena, it was cool because it's such a beautiful, large, old theater. They were able to fit something like 500, 600 seventh graders in to come see a show and talk about energy. I mean, at 10 in the morning, you know, you're working at night, you're gonna, that 10 is a very early time to be doing something. But then you walk on stage with 600 seventh graders. I mean, you can't help it.
Live wire.
Yeah. It was amazing.
It's fun.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that you come out, you know, talking to the audience, and it's a very intimate, you know, and sort of, you know, because your character is vulnerable. This isn't something that is natural for him. And so, you know, you're kind of getting through it, and the audience is, like, not quite sure, like, what if we, because there's that moment of, like, what's happening? Why is he talking to us? And it's so lovely, and I have to believe that also there are moments when the energy of the crowd informs. You've talked a couple of times about having audiences that are so part of it. Are there nights where you kind of like it has to be the two of you that generate that until the audience kind of, because for it can also often be like get on the train or get out of the way. Mm-hmm. Kind
of. I have found it's been my experience. I can't speak for Adam that I don't really think we've had a bad audience.
That's
we've had
wonderful.
Quiet quote, bad audience.
Oh, no.
We've had very, very quiet
I've jinxed
audiences.
You.
And
you've had quiet audiences?
We're coming
quiet
for you, Patty, if something happens.
Yeah. But quiet often
we've had
means...
quiet, yeah. But it's interesting, and that really was part of Chicago's, you know, coming to Chicago from L.A., the audiences initially, they were really into listening to this. And the quiet audiences never... You know, when you get to the end of the show, they're right there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And sometimes there'll be just a dead silence. And Robin, our director, said, expect that. Expect that quite often, that they just don't want this play to be over as unsettling.
Yes.
Or they're just ready for whatever is going to come next. What's and next? Then it happens to be the end of the show. And they're right on board
and
with
they're
it.
Right on board
but
with
yeah, it's always been, to us, you know, again, knock on wood, Patty, we're coming after you if
sorry.
This changes.
Sorry.
But quiet audiences to us have never felt... disinterested not into the show. In fact, those audiences, I always feel like that always puts me a little bit more on, oh, okay, we got to work. We got to do some really good work tonight because they're really listening. Mm-hmm. It's always felt very invested, very, very interested audience.
It's nice to be able to rely on a very well-written script as well. This is very well-written. Sometimes you see it on the page and you just think, I don't know if that's going to work. There are lots of very specific, British-specific references in it, and I don't think there's a whole lot of fat in it. I think it's pretty lean.
I have to agree, and the surprises are just incredible, and the way that unfolds, I'm like, what is happening? More in a moment. We're gonna take a break here and find out a little bit more about our guests, Adam Wesley Brown and Bradley Armacost, the stars of The Woman in Black, running through February 17th at the Royal George Theater. Go to thewomaninblack.com and click on the USA Tour, unless you're going to London, in which case you can go do that. It's just inviting my guest, Bradley Armacost and Adam Wesley Brown, to stay for the next segment. We're going to talk about cars. And you're both laughing because you're not car guys.
Oh, no.
You
just had your car repaired.
I could stay and he could tell me how much I don't know about cars. And I would absolutely agree with him.
He does that for me all the time.
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent.
I'm often texting him like, Warren, the car won't start. before we go, or if you go or stay, it's entirely up to you.
Thank you.
I would love to. I could talk to you guys all night about your careers and about this incredible production of The Woman in Black. I want everyone to visit thewomaninblack.com. Again, U.S. tour, unless you are going to England, which yay for you, and I'm jealous.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything you want to make sure people know about this production?
This will be our first time with an ASL, someone signing sign language, this Friday.
Friday, February 15th, we have an ASL interpreted performance.
So there'll be three characters in the play now. We'll be joined by a third character. I don't really know where she is going to, she or he is going to be staying.
It'll be a fun one.
Yeah.
And then on Valentine's Day, we have a great promo of using the code V-Day. You'll get a free cocktail or drink of your choice at the bar.
Excellent.
With a purchase of a ticket.
So go to, is that on the Woman in Black website for V-Day?
Yes.
Yes, we are looking at, yes. We're looking at our people.
Looking at the bosses.
We have to say it. There was a scream contest last Sunday.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about this.
There was a winner of that. There was
your listeners deserve to know this.
And she was up against the dear young woman from Northwestern University.
The Scream Queen at Northwestern.
And that winner was across the table here. Patty won that hands down.
I don't think my listeners are surprised. I keep many of them awake. I think there's video of that. They must have taken video.
I hope so.
We probably need to take a look at that at some point.
You need to take a look at that.
The still photo is so funny because one woman is covering her mouth and you're running away. And that's pretty much appropriate.
It's actually been my experience with Brad that I opened my mouth and he starts to run away.
That scream, your scream, peeled paint. There was.
Well, I encourage everyone to go see the production of The Woman in Black. It's one of my favorite things I've seen in years. And I love all the performers that we have in studio. I love ghost stories, and I love the work that you've done. And
well, thank
everyone
you for
involved.
Your support of the yes. theater this Thursday night to yeah. get together.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank
yeah.
you so much for that
my
over
pleasure.
The years.
Yeah. And if you're here for Car Talk, we'll hang out with you then, too.
Lovely.
I almost wouldn't let them leave, bro. Adam and Brad, I'm like, no, come and stay for the Car Talk. And they're like, it's getting late. We don't keep these kinds of hours.
Not everybody stays up like you, Patty.
I am a little bit. I love being up at night. I loved doing the earlier show when Andrea and I were on together earlier. This is my stomping grounds. I've been a night owl since I was in high school. And then I went into stand-up comedy. These are my working hours.
So you're used to it. People got to get their rest. They can't be a spring chicken like you, ma'am.
I'm not a spring chicken. And then my poor car guy, Warren Price, who's here tonight, two nights in a row having to stay up late because last night we didn't make it through all the material. There were so many questions about cars which is good. You were helping people.
Rum.
Yeah. Hello. So we were talking about, now coming up a little bit later, we're gonna have a conversation with Ray Scarpelli, who is the chairman of the Chicago Auto Show, which opens this Saturday the 9th.
They have
their big first look for charity.
Tomorrow night.
And
black tie.
The thing about the auto show is people have their dream cars. You, Warren, you see cars as a mode of transportation. Fix it, get it out the door. People go on with their lives. Right?
The car is not just that. The car is the horse and carriage. It's like if you've got to get, you know, some hay for those horses, you got to, you know, pull them with something.
Yeah. Right. And you got to take care of them.
That machine needs to be taken care of because it's going to take care of you.
And then there are different kinds of horses. You got your quarter horses, you got your Palominos, you got your...
Any Palominos.
Yeah, Clydesdales, right. So that's one of the things we want to talk about. Yesterday we talked about the nuts and bolts. Mm-hmm. A lot of elements of, you know, we had questions from folks about cars to upgrade to. And you had a top 10 list of the cars that you're fascinated by for 2019.
I have different lists I was thinking about putting together.
Why different lists?
Yeah, I've got the top 10 best looking.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what's your criteria?
And then I have hybrids.
Okay.
And then I have Hawk's list.
What's Hawk? Okay, well, let's go with best looking.
Best looking.
312-981-7200 if you have other cars that you think are the best looking cars of 2019, or what do you like? What do you guys, what's your go-to? If you had a dream car, what would it be? 312-981-7200. Let us know. So what's the best looking cars of 2019?
My number one pick is the Ford Mustang Bullet.
The Bullet, how is it different?
I should have bought a Mustang, you know, when I could learn to drive.
Well, why not now?
Well, because I have twin daughters that are 16 years old and they're not getting behind the wheel of a Bullet.
Right, because whatever you buy ultimately becomes theirs.
Whatever I buy is theirs.
This is pretty. So this is a little bit more rounded.
It is beautiful, isn't it?
Right? Because the other Mustangs have sort of like more of a trunk. And they...
Well,
they're not boxier, but this is a little more sleek looking.
It's definitely sleek. And it's... hot. Ford really did a great job with it.
All right, yeah, this is a beautiful car. All right, so the Mustang Bullitt is one of your favorites of 2019.
And it's priced well.
In the category of looking good. Priced well?
Yeah, $47,000.
I don't think we have the same criteria for... Yeah.
Well, it's
class. A car.
In its class, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, and I actually like the Hyundai Veloster. It's a small, little, cute car that's efficient, and it does wonderful things, and it's priced at around $18,000.
So the Hyundai, so you have a, so that's, I mean, that's good for people who want a cool car.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool little car. It'll get people that edge of sport for little money.
So this is more, this isn't, obviously, none of these are going to be
I have an array. When you, yeah, well, my next car is a family car.
Is it? Oh, and it looks good?
Yeah, I like it. It's the Volvo XC40.
The Volvo XC. Now, a listener last night was calling and saying that they have a Volvo now.
Oh, yeah, the 07 70 wagon, three rows.
Right, and they said they can fit six kids. Can they fit six in this Volvo that you're talking about?
I don't know. I didn't go that far. All I know is it looks good.
Oh, this is, by the way, I'm looking at the Hyundai Veloster. Is it pronounced Veloster? It's V-E-L-O-S-T.
Yeah, Veloster. Veloster. Veloster.
We're going to mess it up. Hyundai's going to be finding us.
Oh, my God.
All right, what's the name? What's the Volvo that you like?
The XC 40 and 60.
The XC?
40 and 60, yeah.
All right, so
the
Volvo.
The one is a wagon and or SUV, and the other one's a sedan.
And that one, obviously, people love Volvos for their safety and their quality.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. All right. Great car.
Great car. All right, what's next?
Well, my favorite of all of them is the Toyota Avalon.
Right, you mentioned that last night.
I mentioned that last night. Yeah, the hybrid that came out.
You're attached to this Toyota Avalon. How about that one?
Well, I had an Avalon, and it was an 03. Mm-hmm. It was a great story. This guy came in, poor guy. He wrecked this car, and he had no insurance to cover it. He only had liability. And he had damage in the left front corner of the car.
Oh, boy.
And when he pulled in, he drove it in. And he said, well, what do I do? I said, well, you know, you've got probably $5,000 worth of damage on a car that's worth $5,000.
Oh, man.
And he says, well, I can't afford to do that. Do you have anything else for me? So he had 70,000 miles on that car, which was low for an 03. This is all took place in 2018.
Okay.
And he had low mileage. And I said, well, I happen to have a 2001 Infiniti i30T with 61,000 miles on it. It's an 01 with 60,000 miles on it. And I had serviced this car.
So you knew it?
For 10 years. Mm-hmm. I knew it.
Yeah.
And I said, tell you what, I own this car. I can sell you this one for $2,500 if you give me the title to the other one.
I think that someone came ahead on that one.
Well, I had to fix his car.
Yeah, that's true. That's a lot of fix.
I had to fix his car.
Yeah.
So I fixed his
car. How long did it take with all that damage?
To fix it?
Yeah.
4 months.
My gosh.
I took my time. It was no hurry.
Right. It was going to be there.
It was going to be there. And I had, you know, the a guy we call Abo Rafi, who works for us, who's been with me for about 34 years. Mm-hmm. This old guy. He's great. He slowly fixed it a little bit every day.
Smoothed it back into shape.
Yeah, smoothed it back into shape. We straightened parts that we didn't want to buy. Well, we took our time,
that's
you know,
great.
And then after I fixed it, I started to drive it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God.
Now you're addicted to
Avalon. It's an 03.
Yeah.
And the seats were velour, not leather.
Velour?
Yes, velour.
Like velvet?
Like soft, cushy. Yeah.
Interesting.
It was fine.
That would be fun. I love velour. I'm wearing velour.
You're
what
wearing
you
your...
Velour.
Is that purple?
Yes.
Oh, purple velour. Velour.
Yeah,
purple
it's like
velour.
It's like a flowy tracksuit.
Yeah.
It's a dress, wonderful. But...
It works. It keeps you warm. Keeps the wind out.
Yeah. So you said that. So does that round out your list of your favorite looking cars?
Oh,
all right.
Come
before
on.
We go to the break, round out your list.
Oh, you want more before we go to the break?
Yes.
Well, I do like the new Lexus crossover, the UX. It's a pretty car. It's well built. It's got everything. You know, it's a Toyota, but it's a Lexus. Okay, you okay?
Yeah, no one can hear me. Keep talking. I'm coughing. I just
water. I just slapped her back.
The water went down the wrong way.
Okay,
sorry, go ahead. So, when you say it's a crossover, it's like an SUV.
It's
kind of an SUV sedan.
It's small, lower. It's more sleek, but it's a you know, suffices as an SUV.
Okay,
they call it a crossover. It doesn't know what it wants to do.
It doesn't know. Eventually,
it wants
make
to be
up
a sedan
mind.
And it wants to be an SUV.
All right,
so it's a crossover.
But it's a luxury car either way.
It's definitely a luxury car. Yeah. I like it. It looked really good.
Well, I love that you've mixed it up. You've got the sports car. You've got the
ready
economy.
For this one.
Yes. Okay.
the Dodge Ram 1500 truck.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is that one where you need to have like a big, like you have like a little step stool to get, climb up into the cab?
You need a step stool, but you also need to have those sickle hooks that you can grab the hay bale of hay with to throw in the back of the truck.
Well, you know, I've read for those who are driving on icy roads, you should weigh it down with like sandbags in the back, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah. Definitely. But put it over the differential. Don't put it behind it, put it over the wheels.
Put it over the differential, you know, because I know where the differential is. Do you know where a differential is on a Ram?
Figure where the wheels are, in the middle of the wheels.
Okay.
Not at the back, not in front, but in right over the wheels.
All right, so we got the Ram, which you're right, that's a surprise on your list.
It's a pretty nice car. One. Yeah.
All right.
And then, of course, you have to jump to the Mercedes-Benz A-Class.
Sure, why not?
Why not?
Throw in a Mercedes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's they don't even have a price on it yet.
Oh, boy. To be determined?
TBA.
Oh, boy.
To be announced.
Yeah, you better hold on to your pocketbook.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff out there. The Corvette ZR1, you know, it's only $120,000.
Well, there you go. I mean, and Corvette lovers, though, they'll save up for that kind of stuff.
They are individuals of another kind.
Yeah, they love their rallies and their Corvette festivals.
We have a customer that brought his car in. He has a 2003 Vet. I think it was the anniversary edition. And Tommy, who works for me, was telling me, he's been in here 7 times. He never fixes it. You know, we always do adjust, but he never really fixes it.
Oh, boy.
Well, he's fixing it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he's going to drop some coins and put money into it and have his Vet.
And there you go. That's at, by the way, that's European and U.S. Auto Body at 4080 North Broadway. We're hanging out with Warren Price. He's telling us about his favorite cars of 2019. The auto show opens on Saturday, February 9th. Of course, tomorrow is their first look for charity. You can go to firstlookforcharity.org for the tickets.
You can still get tickets online to get on there.
Yeah, that's what they were telling me.
It's a great event. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
people are all dressed to the nines, you know, tuxedos, dresses, high heels.
They invited
jewelry.
Me, and I was like, I think I got a pair of yoga pants I got to wear before the show. More after this on 720 WGN. The Chicago Auto Show opens this Saturday, February 9th. They also have their first look for charity tomorrow. You can go to firstlookforcharity.org. They help over 27 charities in the Chicagoland area. Joining us in studio is the owner of European and U.S. Auto Body, Warren Price, friend of the show and a car expert. And I know that because now people are texting in their questions for you, Warren. They hear the car guy. I got a guy. It's my car guy. 815 asks, what are your thoughts of the Ford Raptor?
I can't give you an actual answer because I don't have a lot of data on that at all.
What's the Raptor?
I can't go there.
You can't go there?
I don't know.
And you haven't gotten any in the shop?
And I didn't put my computer in front of me to look at it. I'll
pull it up for you.
You pull it up.
Ford Raptor 2019. Is that a truck?
It could be.
Is that a F-150 Raptor truck?
Did you know that they're selling more trucks than anything else in the United States now?
I believe,
Yeah, top sellers are trucks.
Hold on. This is it's a cool looking truck. I mean, it's.
Like it.
That's badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks good.
Just the 150, it's smaller.
The SVT Raptor 4x4 Supercab, style side, 5.5 foot box.
Sorry. Okay, yeah, smaller vehicle, yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, our friend that was texting yesterday about the Volvo, good used 4-seat hardtop convertible. I'm the Volvo lady they mentioned. Does he like the C70 still?
Yeah, the C70's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what's...
You want to get the... that's a 2008, isn't it, or something like that?
You're looking at me?
No, I think... I'm pretty sure. Yeah, one of my customers has one. Janice has one.
A listener just texted me and said that this is the best, in their opinion, the best looking car they ever saw, which is a 1984 Ferrari. What's wrong with that?
It's a hot car.
Is that a hot car?
Oh, yeah.
It looks like it's for sale with only 24,000 miles on it. I don't know if that's still available.
Is it going for, 150? 150,000?
Is that what it would take?
My guess, anywhere from 125 to 150,000.
All right. Well, I'm not going to be getting that one. All right, what's the next list? You had what looks good?
What looks good? Well, I still have now efficiency.
Okay, efficiency.
Efficiency is really, really important
to me. Now, is this for gas and for, you know, mileage and things like that?
It's for gas. It's for
space.
You know, shortness, easy to park.
Oh yeah,
maintenance, future value, longevity, and that would be the Toyota Corolla.
Oh really? All right, Toyota Corolla.
Yeah, believe you know, Toyota is the number one selling car in the world. So you know, GM has got a different type of vehicle. But I did say yesterday, what was my second hybrid? Do you remember?
Second hybrid.
The Chevy.
The Chevy
Malibu.
Really? I didn't realize they were making a hybrid.
Yeah.
All right. Are they still making the Bolt or the Volt or what? Are one of those going away?
The Volt?
I think the Volt is going away, yeah, but they're keeping away, the Bolt.
One of them they're keeping, one of them they're dissing.
Those are nice cars too, but I didn't realize the Malibu was a hybrid.
Yeah, the Chevy makes a good car. And they really had a nice body design.
Well, the Bolt is a plug-in, so it's different than a
Bullet?
Hybrid. The Bolt is a...
The Bolt is a plug-in.
Right,
yeah.
Which is makes it an electric car.
Right.
And the hybrids are like the... So the
they're
Malibu,
combinations.
Gotcha.
And you don't have to plug them in.
Right.
One takes over when it needs to.
I have to tell you a secret. Don't get mad at me.
A secret? Sometimes should I close my ears?
Every once in a while, I'm like, I'm on empty, and the gas pump flashes on my Toyota Prius, and I'm like, well, now I want to see how far I can get on this. I know, but never anywhere too far away from anything. But yeah, don't do that.
All I can tell you is on my way here yesterday.
Yes.
The light came on and I was not going to screw around. I went right to a gas station.
Oh, by the way, Mommy, if you're still up, I filled up your tank on your... I had to drive her a Accord tonight, so
okay.
I filled up your gas tank because she doesn't like to go below half and I've been driving her car.
Well, tomorrow's going to be nasty.
Cold.
Or actually, today is nasty. When I walked here, it was... the wind is intense.
All right, so for efficiency, we got the Chevy Malibu.
The Toyota Corolla.
Toyota Corolla, which I'm surprised by. I love that.
Yeah, well, it's a smaller one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
My first car was a Toyota Corolla.
You know, back to the Hyundai, they have the hard for me to pronounce it. It's the Ioniq or something. Ioniq. Anyone can tell us how to pronounce that?
Ioniq.
You know, to be nice.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
And Prius.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, let's
you know,
Prius.
Today I found out what the difference between a Prius is and a Prius C.
What's a Prius C?
It's shorter.
Oh, it's got a smaller body?
It's got a smaller body.
Well, that's the incredible thing about the Prius that we have, the 2010. Remember, it was the only car that would fit Declan's wheelchair in.
I remember. Remember, you were going to look at the Ford Edge?
Yes.
And, Miles, if you're listening, he bought the Ford Edge.
Yeah. I couldn't get the wheelchair in there.
Yeah, but
that's
you
so
couldn't
weird.
Get it in, and it's a SUV, big truck, but into that little car.
Well, it was the width of it. We had to do it like on an angle if we were going to try to get that. And then
I think
space.
The rear seat didn't come back far enough.
Something like
or
that.
Or was too far back
but the
to
Prius,
get it in.
We pop it right in.
You it's have the big lift, and it's got the opening sides.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's a great little
You're
car.
Lucky.
I love that car.
You've had it for
it's my baby.
Years now.
Yeah, three years.
Three years, yeah.
Yeah, I love that car. All right, so you got the Prius, the Malibu, the Hyundai Ioniq.
And let's see what else we
have. The Corolla.
Have.
We love a Corolla.
How's this?
These are all efficient cars.
Yeah, the Kia Niro.
N-I-R-O. Well, look at this one. All right, the Kia Niro.
Yeah.
All right. These are, and again, this is because of the ability to resell these.
Resale, efficiency, cost of maintenance, insurance is cheaper. There's a lot.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a lot of
smaller,
factors.
Yeah, there's a lot of numbers come into play.
I have a question for you, and this is totally off topic. So a friend of mine, let's call him Paul Farvar.
He
and I came back from Indianapolis the other day. He drives an Audi, and we hit some construction pavement, right? He said it was like he didn't get out of it was like in the groove part where it wasn't as smooth, and he didn't want to go up on the, you know, like sometimes there's that inch or two, and he was figured he'd stick with this and then get over. And all of a sudden he realized he had a flat tire, and eventually realized he had two flat tires. The first flat tire, I mean, it was all the way down. Yeah, and we were very lucky. Thank you to the Minutemen. You're incredible. The thing is, so he had both. He ended up having to replace both tires. That was on Monday. He replaced both of them. He just messaged me today. He was on his way to Madison. Another flat tire.
Same side?
No, one of the same tires.
Oh, my God.
Is it possible that he did damage to the rim?
Yes.
That's doing damage to the inside of the tire? That's what I...
Well, if the rim is out of round, the rubber's going to bounce out of round.
But they should have checked that when they replaced his tire, shouldn't they?
But he went in there and said, I need two new tires because they're flat. He put the tires on and they left.
Because that happened to me on my Volkswagen. That's why I was thinking I should tell him. But I had a Volkswagen GTI, and I had those big mag rims.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got a flat tire, it was because the mags were off. Yeah.
Well, if like I said, if you've got something that's out of round.
Out of round,
it doesn't work.
Yeah.
you know,
you'll get another flat.
Lump, lump, lump. And if you hit that spot, that's even worse.
I'll message him and make sure he gets that checked out.
Yeah, there's if he's got the Audi wheels and they're expensive, you don't have to buy new ones. You can get them remanufactured.
Remanufactured. All right. Yeah. We will let him know.
And they're cheaper.
Before we go to the break, we have the next list. What's your next list of cars?
I got best looking.
And you got efficient.
Efficiency. Let's talk about some hybrids.
All right. Some hybrids.
Hybrids. Okay. The Mitsubishi
mm-hmm.
Outlander.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's a cute car.
It's a PHEV.
I like the way
you know what PHEV is.
No,
plug-in hybrid vehicle.
All right.
Yeah, it's a good one. And the Ford Fusion.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
I thought they weren't making that one anymore. Or was it the Ford?
I didn't. You know, I wrote it. I took it out of the book. It's still there.
All right. Cool. Yeah.
And back to that other brand. What was it called?
Toyota.
Yeah. The Yaris.
Oh, a little Yaris is a cute little car.
It does the job.
Adorable.
It's great for pizza. And it's,
I don't know. That was all right.
Delivery.
Was it really a Yaris? How'd you like your Yaris?
I loved it. It was gas efficient. I was a broke high school kid. And it, honestly, I think I would put like $20 in when gas was like $4.
Almost, oh, boy.
$5. And it would fill it up. And I would be good. Happy. So I loved my little car. It was just, I'm 5'11". So, yeah.
She needs more headroom.
It's tough having your knees in your chest, right?
Yeah, funny. That was the part that sucked.
I was telling my husband, I said, I think she's 6 feet tall. I'm not entirely sure.
She's beautiful.
Isn't she?
Thank you.
Oh, she's stunning.
You're an inch off. There.
I'm 5'6". Everything is 6 feet tall to me.
It makes you feel any better. Everything is
so,
like
so how long, how many miles per gallon did you get out of that?
I think I got like, it was somewhere between 20 and 30.
That's
okay,
great.
That's a good spread.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad at all.
Yeah, first
but
car.
We had the four door, and my mom had paid it off. She it was
right.
her car first, so she bought a new one and gave me that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it lasted us forever, well, until I got into a car accident. But we only had like 30,000, 40,000 miles on it. And most Toyotas that we would get would last 6, 7, 8 years and above. So it was definitely clutch.
We'll remember yesterday, the lady with the Toyota RAV, the 07 with 06 or 280,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
And it's still running.
I think it was 278,000.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, a lot of miles. Those cars go forever.
We can't go forever. I got to take a break here. Oh, look at that little red light flash and said you're late. More after this on 720 WGN.
Timeless, memorable music is back on the radio
at 87.7 FM.
Great artists.
Great songs.
Great memories.
Right now on 87.7 FM. The music you've been missing is on 87.7 FM.
MeTV FM.
If you work as a teacher or in any position at a public school, or if you are a nurse, police officer, firefighter, or if you work for any not-for-profit and you have federal student loan debt, by law, you are entitled to get significant forgiveness of that debt. And if you are currently a student with federal education loans and need to lower your payment, Kaplan Law will make sure you're getting the lowest payment that you're entitled to, as well as confirming you're certified for public and private sector loan forgiveness. Many people get denied because they're not in compliance with the statute. The attorneys at Kaplan Law are the only ones who can make sure you're in good standing and fulfilling all the requirements. Let Kaplan help you. Call for your consultation at 312-294-8989. That's 312-294-8989. Don't waste another dime paying too much for your student loans. Call Kaplan Law, 312-294-8989.
We had Meg in twice over the last few months. Both of them had to do with doors. So we had them replace a board underneath our front door above the stoop. They did a great job.
We are speaking today with Mega Customer Ed Chess of McHenry.
And then we had them do that same kind of repair on our slider in the back. But in order to do that, they had to replace the slider. It took quite a while to assemble the door and get it installed. They're very friendly, you know, very personable folks. Lou was the guy that was kind of the foreman. He did a wonderful job communicating with me, used materials that I had on hand to match
things better than it would have matched otherwise. So it worked out really well. I'd certainly have him back.
One mega call does it all.
847-658-8989. 847-658-8989.
Megapros.com.
One mega call does it all.
We're hanging out with Warren Price, the owner of European and U.S. Auto Body, and I thought it was so funny. Every time you're on, your friends from Toyota over there on Western and Peterson give us a call.
Chicago Northside Toyota.
Pete's all quiet tonight.
He was up late last night.
He was up late last night. We're going to check in with Ray Scarpelli, who is the chairman of the Chicago Auto Show, which opens on Saturday. And they have their First Look for Charity. You can go to firstlookforcharity.org to get some tickets to that. And coming up before the end of the show, during our Tell Me Something Good, we're going to give away some prizes. We want to hear from you. Tell me something good. And if we like it, we'll give you something. I think we'll like it, because we always do. Time now for your news. Here is Vic Vaught.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show on 720 WGN. And this weekend, the auto show opens. Of course, one of the big events in our great city. And joining us on the line is Ray Scarpelli. Ray, am I saying your last name correctly?
You got it. Scarpelli.
Scarpelli.
Thanks, Patty.
Where did you, first of all, where did you grow up and how did you get so interested in cars to the point where you're the chairman of the auto show?
You know, I'm a second generation car dealer in my family. My father started the original dealership in Antioch, and I would hang out with him at the dealership all the time. And it was in my blood. And I went to college. I went to Northwood University, and that was a college where you can get a degree in automotive marketing. So here I am today and doing the auto show. So it's an honor, and I'm excited to do it.
How many years have you been the chairman for the Chicago Auto Show?
It's a one-year experience.
Oh, really?
So everybody on the board that gets to be on the executive committee will be a chairman for a year. Well, so it's my year.
So was this everything you thought it would be?
You know what? It's a lot of fun. It's hectic, Patty, but you take a breath and you realize this is a 111-year tradition. It's you're putting this on for the public in Chicago and the 400 new car dealers you're representing. So it's an awesome thing. It's a lot of fun. And tomorrow night's a big night, too. It's the First Look for Charity, which benefits 18 local charities. Tickets are still available on firstlookforcharity.org. And we hope you'll come out and support these charities. Over 27 years, we've raised $50 million.
What?
Yeah, $50 million.
Say it again, because you all should be proud of that.
Yeah, thank you. $50 million, and we're hoping this year, we're hoping to raise close to $3 million just in one year. And it all goes locally. These 18 local charities benefit. There's the 100 Club. There's Lurie Children's Hospital. There's Catholic Charities of Chicago. So just to name a few charities that benefit, and it's a great night. It's a great way to see the show. It's red carpet, great food, great entertainment, gourmet cocktails. It's quite an experience that you have to come out and see.
It sounds like a great way to start off the weekend. So you've got the First Look for Charity. Again, the website is firstlookforcharity.org. And the goal is $3 million, and I wish you the best on that. What are you excited about? What have you now? People will have a chance to take their first look, but my guess is you've had the before the first look opportunity.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
We have over 1,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs and over 1 million square feet of McCormick Place.
Wow.
It's incredible this year. We have 4 indoor test tracks. We have 6 outdoor test track opportunities. We have the Kia test track. It's called the Torque Track, where we'll be running 2020 Kia Tellurides. We've got Camp Jeep celebrating its 15th year, running Wranglers up and down these crazy hills. We have the Ram Truck Track. We have the Land Rover Track, which is all new for the show this year. It's really an exciting year, Patty, to be down at the Chicago Auto Show.
When you say there are test tracks, I mean, because that's the thing people look for, are those immersive, sort of experiences at the auto show. Do they have to register somehow to have the opportunity to enjoy the test track?
You know, it's pretty simple. You just obviously get in line, and then you do sign a waiver. The test tracks are your driven by a professional, because when you see these tracks, there are no flat property here. We're going up a hill, down a hill, around a curve. We're going through bumps and traversing little logs, and it's really a fun, immersive experience. It's really fun.
You put an obstacle course on the test track?
We do. We do. You have to experience it. If you haven't done it, you get in, let's say, in a Wrangler, and you'll go up this hill that's a pretty steep pitch, and you'll go down equally as steep, and you're hanging from your seatbelt, literally. And you'll get to see the handling capabilities, and the capabilities of these four-wheel drive vehicles are pretty awesome.
It sounds incredible. And the thing about coming out to the auto show is that everybody has their own sort of wants and needs, right? You've got the folks that are looking for the fantasy, the dream car, just so you sit in an automobile they might not ever have the chance to afford, but they can make believe for a few moments. And there are some themed vehicles this year, aren't there?
Yes, there's Acura, there's Lexus is here. We cover the gamut. Of course, Cadillac, Lincoln, but we have a supercar garage as well, where we have some Italian exotic cars and some Rolls Royce and Bentleys, and it's quite a gathering of vehicles. It's so fun,
and it's always fun whether it's the big kids who imagine themselves ripping down the highway in one of those incredible cars, or the kids who someday they can see themselves driving those. I think the kids are the most fun to watch. What do you think?
That's right, and there's activities for kids too. We have a Lego build your own truck display at Chevrolet, which is really fun for them. We have the scramble nets at Ford, where you'll go through a tunnel. These are 15 feet high with 10,000 connected ropes that kids can run through the tunnels and experience that. So it's really fun for the whole family.
Well, and parents like me appreciate that you've given the kids something to do that might wear them out a little bit so that they can have fun and we can take a practical look at cars. Because I was telling you that the first time I went was when my mom was in the market for her very first new car. We'd always had old cars. We'd always had, I think one of the cars I remember was a 79 Ford LTD. Remember the ones that had the headlight covers? And if they didn't both like lift up correctly, it looked like your car was winking.
Took many vacations in a station wagon, so I know the vehicle.
Right. We had the Ford LTD. We had one of those Oldsmobile station wagons with the wood paneling. And I just remember when my mom was in the market for a new car, it was the Saturn that she was interested in when that first was on the market. Do you remember? Were you ever with a dealer that would just like kick it and go, look how much wear and tear it could take? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. It was a plastic fender.
Yeah. I was like, why is this guy kicking the car?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So that's one of the big things too. Whether it's the spokespeople or obviously there are dealers there talking to the audience, the crowds. What should people expect when they go up to maybe one of the car whether it's Toyota or Subaru or as you mentioned maybe Cadillac or Bentley? What kind of conversation should they look forward to?
Well, they have product professionals all over the auto show. And when you go up to a product specialist, they'll give you the information that you are really wanting to know. They all have laptops or they have handheld devices where they'll give you in-depth information, as in-depth as you want to go. And it's a great way to shop and compare all on a million square feet of McCormick Place. And it's always sunny too and sunny there, Patty. So,
that's right.
Great way to spend the day. And if you download the mobile app, the Chicago Auto Show mobile app, you'll get a site map of the whole show, and you'll get a list of activities that we have every day through the run of the show, which is the 9th through the 18th. And you'll get a discount on your ticket by doing it.
See, that's a great idea. You know, in that sense, people can plan ahead, too, because they can go, okay, this is where we're going to go. They can be a little more focused if that's the way they want to do it. And then you've got folks like me who go, let's see what happens when I go left and when I go right.
That's right. You can just meander and see what you run into. You'll be surprised at some of the things that you'll see. You'll see anything from a huge truck to a compact SUV. It's amazing the lineup that we have assembled in Chicago this year. And you can sample some of the latest, newest products. And all the safety features, Patty, there's things like lane departure warning systems, there's infotainment systems, there's crash warning, and the product professionals are all there to help explain these features because they're really a benefit to a new vehicle buyer.
See, that's a great thing, too. When you mention the safety features and all the enhanced software that these cars have, I do kind of wonder how close are we getting to not having to drive the car ourselves? I mean, you know, people want to know about these driverless cars. Will they learn more about that at the auto show?
Yes, there's some part that's some of the features on these vehicles have some autonomous driving. They're not the Jetson type where you just put your hands down and it goes. But, for instance, they have cruise controls now. They're super cruise controls where you can set the cruise control at whatever speed, and it'll literally stop in a safe distance in front of the car, in front of you, by sensing what's in front of you. So they're pretty advanced. They also sensor when you're out of your lane, and they'll literally kick you back into the right lane that you should be in.
Really? So does it jerk you over back to where you're supposed to be?
It's gentle, but it does nudge you back. It does.
Hey, you meant to be over here.
Amazing.
I need a voice to go, hey, not for nothing, but you need to be over to the left a little bit. A little Chicago action.
Do you want it to call your name too?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. We're pretty close to our cars, you know, being able to specify and tailor to our needs. You know, like I've always wanted a car that when I get in, it tells me something like, "Hey, Patty, you look good today. Have you lost weight?" You know, that kind of stuff.
A little positive affirmation is not bad.
Exactly, exactly. Well, I think that everyone should be giving you a lot of positive affirmation for all the great work this year you've done on the Chicago Auto Show. We've heard nothing but great things heading into this week. Again, for everyone that's interested, it opens on Saturday the 9th and runs through the 19th. But there is a First Look for Charity tomorrow night, Friday. You can go to firstlookforcharity.org. Ray, am I forgetting anything that you want people to know for the auto show?
No, it runs through President's Day, which is the 18th of the show. And please come tomorrow night if you can. It's the 8th. Firstlookforcharity.org. The tickets are still available. Black tie, red carpet, great food, great entertainment. You're benefiting 18 local charities. You can win two great vehicles, Blazer, a 2019 all-new Blazer, or a 2019 Jeep Compass. So there's a lot of reasons to come out tomorrow. Well, and through the show.
That's right. Well, thank you so much. And the website for the auto show in general, for downloading the map and everything?
It's ChicagoAutoShow.com, or you can go on social media, Chicago Auto Show.
Outstanding. It was a pleasure talking to you. We'd love to have you in studio sometime. I know that you've got other things that you work on, and our microphones are always available for you, sir.
Patty, thank you so much for having us on, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you today.
Thank you so much. Have a great foggy evening. Be safe.
Thank you, Patty.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good.
I have a couple of something goods. One, I am loving the sounds from our producer, Ro Coleman. And I know people are like, Ro? Yeah, Ro. That's her name. So there you go. R-O. Ro. Thank you so much, Ro. It sounds great. And we are hanging out in the Allstate Skyline Studios with Warren Price. He is the owner of European and U.S. Auto Body at 4080 North Broadway.
Broadway. 4080 North Broadway.
And the website?
EuropeanUS.com.
Excellent. And before I do everyone's something good, let me get to a couple of texters. Quick question from the 302, Warren. Will cars offer 5G or Wi-Fi soon, do you think?
They have to. Yeah, it's got to. All that technology's taken over the planet.
And also from the 302, I don't know about the Waymo. We didn't have a chance to ask Ray. I apologize. They're wondering if they're going to feature automobiles that are being tested by Waymo and Google, etc. So I don't know if they'll feature those.
Those cars aren't going to be there. Not yet. No.
By the way, 312-981-7200 to call us and tell us something good. But I also have a gift card from Apt Electronics, because one of my other something goods is that I was taking care of Declan, and I knocked over a glass of water onto my Mac laptop, which was fine for a couple days. I was able to turn it over, get all the water out, dried it out, everything over a fan. Everything seemed fine. And then 2 weeks afterwards, my screen went just went blank.
Corrosion.
Took it to Apt Electronics, and they took care of it, and I have a brand new screen. And they do, I mean, it's worth it to get it done, to get it fixed. I have my computer back.
I just got a dishwasher. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, a clothes washer and dryer from them.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
I love
Apt. It was great.
So 312-981-7200 to win the gift card from Apt Electronics. Tell us what the first car was that Ro drove. What was her first car? She just mentioned it earlier in the show. It was also on Warren's list of the efficient cars. So 312-981-7200. What was Ro's first car?
I know.
What was her first car? Judy, what do you want to tell us for Tell Us Something Good?
Well, something good. 2 weeks ago, I lost my husband of 49 years.
Oh, Judy.
But Patty, he had to go to God because he suffered from Alzheimer's and dementia for 19 years.
Oh, Judy.
I'm doing well. I am really doing well because I've got him in my ear every now and then.
Sure.
And he keeps saying, do it this way, kid. Do it that way, kid.
All right, kid. Well, kid, it was good to hear from you. And I love your attitude. You're just so energetic. I love that.
Well, I hope to be, because I'm going to be turning 70 in October. Aww. But believe me, WGN has saved my sanity many a time.
Aw, we're happy to be here with you, Judy. I'm so glad you're along for the ride.
Okay, take care.
You too. I'll be well. Thank you, Judy. We have Joe on the line who says he has something good to tell us. Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
I'll tell you what, I can't top that. This last woman deserves Apt Electronics and who knows what else.
I know, Judy. Judy said she wasn't calling in for a prize. What do you want to tell us?
Okay. Shoot, my last snowplow guy left about 3.5-4 feet on one end of my driveway. And I'm hearing the 40-50 mile an hour wind drives this evening, if you will, and that is a backdrop. It's blocking some of the sound. I love it.
Just get a big buffer zone. There you go.
Amen.
All right, Joe. Do you want to win the gift card from Apt Electronics? Because you have to answer the question if you want to win this.
I would like to give it to the last young lady that called in.
Oh, Judy. Yeah, well, if Judy calls back, we'll give it to her. Have a great night, Joe.
You bet. Adios.
Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. We have I don't know why Joe's phone always has an echo. It's always Joe.
He's listening to the radio.
No, that's not. That's not. That would be feedback. He has an echo.
Okay.
Hey, Paul, what's your something good?
Hi, my something good is your station, WGN, which has been such a blessing to me when I can't sleep overnight, which is pretty often, unfortunately.
Oh, it's great. And this is all the way from Maryland, isn't it?
That's correct.
Oh, it's good to hear from you, Paul. How are you feeling?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I know you've had an interesting couple of months.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, I know you've won something recently, so we'll have to do it another time. I'd love to give you a gift card from somewhere.
Well, actually, I think it was a while ago that I won, but
it was okay.
I would be happy to give mine to that first caller as well, anyway.
Judy, you got to call back. Everyone's giving you their prizes. Oh, Paul, it's good to hear from you. And please, do not hesitate to text us anytime. Wonderful to hear from you.
All right. Thanks, Patty. I really love your show.
Oh, I appreciate that. It's great to hear from you. Be well. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye, Paul. You've one of our listeners who texts, you know, he just sometimes he can't sleep and we hang out together. It's all
That's
good.
Wonderful. That's wonderful.
I love being with
such
our listeners.
Good phone calls tonight.
Well, this will be another one of my favorites. All of our favorites are calling. Judy, Joe, Paul, and now it's Trucker Rich. Hey, Trucker Rich, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. A little cold, but doing good.
A little cold? It gets windy out there. Well, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but I've got a tailwind today. It's blowing from the west to the east, so I'm getting, you know, you guys are talking about fuel economy. I'm getting 7.9 miles a gallon in my semi with a tailwind, so that's good.
Okay.
And my something good is the roads are dry, no ice, no rain, and I can run the speed limit for the first time this week.
Oh, man, right. I believe it. It's been a rough couple of weeks, hasn't it? Has it been like a couple months? Has it been a treacherous winter?
Just the last couple of weeks because of the snow and stuff and the ice. Having to start late makes for a later day and stuff. So,
aren't there only 41 days till the first day of spring, though?
I don't know. That doesn't help. Because Joe, you know what? First of all,
pitchers and catchers report within a week, don't they?
Yeah, pitchers and catchers report next week.
If you follow Roger Badish, I believe we're down to four. It's less than a week.
Okay.
If I recall the picture correctly today,
that's next week.
I think we're four days. Trekker Rich, I have to ask. By the way, did you have a chance to hear Dr. Dingman when he was on last night?
No, I didn't, because it was a weather related deal, and I. Started late the day before, and since now the government's got us all on electronic logs, I had to start later last night, so I didn't get to start till 3 o'clock yesterday morning. So
well, he will definitely we had a lovely call with a listener who is going through a very hard time in her life, and she really, I think, helped a lot of people through her struggles and her conversation with Dr. Dingman. So you should find that on the podcast. Find it on iTunes or WGNradio.com.
I'll definitely do it. I've been following him on Facebook, too. So
yes. And don't forget, he'll be on the air with us next Wednesday. He's going to be in studio, as a matter of fact, next Wednesday.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. All right. I got to turn the station over. And I did guess
Rose Carr.
You did? Are you eligible for a prize tonight?
I told her I didn't want to get in on a contest, but I guessed it for just talking to her. So that's cool with me.
All right. I got someone to give it away to. Thank you so much, Trekker Rich. Great to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Be safe, my friend. All right. Quick break, and then we'll turn it over to Nick D.
The numbers are in.
WGN Plus is where Chicago comes for podcasts.
Here's what's going on WGN Plus. Kids, U-turns aren't just for driving these days. It's real when dating someone. Eric from Single Married Divorced shared some rather unfortunate experiences of getting U-turned on. Elton Jim Toronto is slightly skeptical about this old Netflix thing. And the Cornish Door is learning about the wonders of the internet, making artists' careers left and right. Look them up. WGN Plus on iTunes and Google Play.
We couldn't get to everyone something good. Ro and Vic and Warren, real quick, Warren, just because you're not going to be here tomorrow, tell me you're something good.
Beacon Academy, the girls made the state playoffs again, even though they lost in the first round, and the boys won their division. Go Beacon Trailblazers.
Congratulations. Ooh, ooh.